Good morning. You know, it's really a difficult season and time that all of us are living in. And it is not a time that many of us have experience in how to go through it. Yeah. And it's all over the world. Churches are, you know, really finding their way, depending on God, connecting to Jesus, finding answers, how to go through all this. And it's not an easy time. And it is a challenging time. And so just before we look at the Word of God, can we look to God so that He will speak to us, not a man. Heavenly Father, we thank You that, Lord God, Your Word says when two or three are gathered, Your presence is there. You are in the midst of us. And so, Lord God, we pray as the folks have gathered here to worship You, to honor You, to, Lord, not just to listen to Your Word, but, Lord, to abide by Your Word. And so, Lord God, I pray that You will guide me. Your Spirit will speak through me, through Your Word, and remove everything that needs to be removed. And release what You desire to release. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I want to bring greetings from Malaysian Baptist Convention. And I want to thank KLBC and Desa Park City Baptist Church, okay, for all these years of partnership with the Malaysian Baptist Convention, even before I was part of a Malaysian Baptist Convention. Now, many people in the Baptist don't even know who I am, unless you're from Penang. And I usually am more connected to non-Baptist churches than Baptist churches, okay? But in the last 5-6 years, I've been more involved with Baptist churches. And just the last 2 years as the vice chairman, and focusing a lot on raising young leaders for Baptist churches and missions, okay? So in my life, everything has been working in decades, okay? I started as a youth worker at the age of 21, okay? And now I'm 50, going to be 53. That's about 32 years in ministry. And every 10 years, God has done something through first in us, then through us. And then we had to pass it on. So the first 10 years was in the youth ministry. And a lot of the young people in Penang would know we started something called the Youth Wave in Penang many, many years ago when I had hair on my head. And then we passed it on. And then I became a missionary in Nepal together with my wife for another 7 years plus. And then we came back to the same church that sent us out to become the senior pastors for 10 years and then passed on the church to the leaders that we raised up. We raised up 3 younger pastors and passed it on to them and 2 years ago. And in the last 2 years, with COVID, we couldn't do much. But we're slowly beginning to work through the convention with especially Baptist churches that are struggling. There's a lot of Baptist churches in Malaysia that does not have pastor, okay? And that is the scenario. And the reason being is not enough young people are being raised to take on the mantle of leadership. And so I pray that as I share that many young people that are here, because I see a lot of people with hair, only a few with no hair. And so with hair means you are young. Amen? Unless you're wearing a wig, okay? How many of you can know that you can actually laugh in the church? Because in the presence, in the midst of the presence of God, there is joy. Amen? So let's not be gloomy. The newspaper has enough news to make us gloomy, yeah? And we always look at figures that depress us every day. Let me give you some figures today that may encourage you. You know, in 2005, there was a statistics done all over the world to see how many Christians came to the Lord. How many people came to the Lord, not how many Christians. How many people came to the Lord? In 2005, 15.5 million people came to Christ. Just 1 year. 15.5 million people. You know, we always look at the numbers of COVID and how many people died, how many people in ICU, and we get depressed. But any one of you tried to find out how many people came to the Lord in the last 2 years during COVID? Anybody focused on what God was doing around the world? And so I want to encourage you to turn your eyes away from gloomy things and start focusing your eyes on things that God is doing. God has, I want to say this to you, God is not under lockdown. Are you here with me? God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Whether you have coronavirus, no matter what is their name, okay? It can be, you know, Delta, Alpha, Beta, Omega, you know, doesn't matter. Omicron, whatever. God is the same. And God is at work. So 15.5 million people came to know the Lord in 2005. But I also want you to know that 11.7 million people left Christianity in the same year. So they say a net gain of 3.8 million. So 11.7 people left Christianity. Why? A few years back, I saw a cartoon. How many of you like cartoon? No? Caricature. And in that cartoon, it was a billboard in front of a church. And this is what the billboard said. This is in America, yeah? The name of the church was the Light Church. Light means L-I-T-E, like Coke Light, like Pepsi Light. Okay? The Light Church. And this is what is expected in the Light Church. In the Light Church, 24% fewer commitments. Okay? So most of the time you hear preachers say you need to give 100% commitment. But in this church, you minus 24 out of 100%. So 24% less commitment, home of the 7.5% tithe. So that means you don't have to give 10%. You only give 7.5%. Sermon is only for 15 minutes. Worship service is for 45 minutes. And we only follow 8 commandments, not 10. And friends, sad to say, even though this is a cartoon, but that is the truth that is happening all around the world. Following Jesus, you know, all over the world, the standard of following Jesus has been lowered more and more. How many of you realize that? The early church following Jesus means carrying their cross. The early church following Jesus, it meant you may lose your life. The early church following Jesus means your family may disown you. But today, more and more, we hear messages like, come to Jesus, your life will never be the same. You will be rich. You will, you know, enjoy life. God will bless you with a big house. God will bless you with a big car. God will bless you with a big wife. I think you didn't catch that. Everything needs to be big, right? So friends, what is God doing right now? One of the things that we have to see in the church today is that God is doing a shifting process. He's beginning to do, evaluation of all our ministries for leaders. What have we been teaching? How have we been discipling? For the church folks, who have they been following and how have they been following? You know, many times in the church today, people follow their favorite preachers than Christ. So I have entitled this morning's sharing, How... Can I have the slides, please? How are we following Christ? Is it there? Okay, thank you. How do we follow Christ? Now, I like to ask questions because questions helps us to think. And today, I would like you to just think, how are you following Christ? And we're going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. And as we read through this passage, I want you to see the different characters here. There are three different disciples that Jesus is talking to. And to all these three, he has different answers. Okay? Starting with verse 57. This is what he says. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now this sounds good, right? I will follow you wherever. How many of you will tell your someone, I will follow you wherever? Nowadays, even in the wedding exchange of vows, in those days they have this line, I will go wherever you go. I will lodge wherever you lodge. Today, some couples say, Pastor, drop that. I will go if the hotel is 5-star. I will eat in the Michelin star restaurants, not at Mama. And so it's changing. Commitments are changing. But here is a guy who says to Jesus, I will go wherever you go. Look at Jesus' reply to him in verse 58. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Wow, what a weird answer to someone who said, I will go wherever you go. Then verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Wow, this is even more weird. And then Jesus said and answered to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And then there's a third person, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Looks like a reasonable request, right? But Jesus answers him, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow, very harsh. Just go and say bye-bye also. Jesus said, not fit. Now, we got to understand the cultural context where these answers are being given. Now, one of the things I want you to realize is that many times we think that Jesus actually asked his disciples to follow him right at the beginning of his ministry. Most of us think that, Peter, is your name Peter? Okay, follow me. hi, Andrew. Yeah, follow me. That is not what really happened. Okay, there were many instances in Jesus' ministry throughout the 3.5 years where some of them have been following Jesus, and Jesus turns to them in different seasons and tells them, follow me. That means they have already had a relationship with Jesus. It's not like some stranger coming and say, follow me. If today I come and ask you to follow me, some of you will be, you know, thinking, is this guy for real? I just met him. But if Pastor John comes and says, follow me, it's a lot easier because Pastor John has built that relationship with you. If Elder Bruce comes and says, follow me, then it's easier for you to follow him because it's been a number of years from the beginning of this church, he has built a relationship with you. And so we got to understand this context. Okay? So they know Jesus. They know who Jesus is. They know some of Jesus' teaching until this point of time. They've seen the life of Jesus. They have seen the miracles Jesus has performed. And then Jesus says, follow me. And let us look from the answers, what is Jesus requiring of his followers? That's what we want to learn today. Okay? As you evaluate, as you think about how we are following Christ, may we look at what is Jesus' requirement of us to follow him. So I'm going to talk about four C's. Three C's, how you shouldn't be following Christ, and one C, very easy. One C, how you should follow Christ. Amen? First thing is this. Following Jesus cannot be based on comfort. Turn to someone next to you and say comfort. Now, how many of you know human beings always want comfort? I tell you, anybody who doesn't want comfort, something's wrong with them. You know, I don't understand why people want to sleep on nails when you can sleep on a mattress. You know, have you seen those people who, you know, lie down on nails, you know, and torture themselves? I want to sleep on a nice mattress, okay? I like good pillows because when the pillow is not good, I can't sleep well. So all of us desire comfort. It's a natural thing. But following Jesus cannot be based on comfort. Why? Remember the first guy said, wherever you go, I will go. And Jesus gives this strange answer. Foxes have hole, birds have nest, I don't even have a place to lay my head. Would you still follow? How many of you ladies like a guy to propose to you like that? Look, I got no house, I got no money, I don't think I can give you the next meal, would you marry me? How many girls with an open arm, how many fathers will give their daughter to a guy, and I'm a father of one daughter, yeah? I will think twice. I provide for my girl. You know, even if I don't have, I make sure my girl will have it. Would I give my daughter to a guy who can't even give a bottle of mineral water? And I'm not asking for Mercedes-Benz and a condo in Desa City Park. But there needs to be some form of security, right? But here, Jesus is saying, even if I cannot offer you anything, would you still follow me? Are you here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I getting a point? Jesus is showing very clearly to this first disciple, I can't really offer you much. You know, all this while, perhaps this disciple has been following Jesus. He has seen all the success in ministry. He probably saw the feeding of the 5,000 or 4,000. And how much was left over? He probably saw how Jesus healed the sick. He probably saw Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. He probably saw many miracles and the highlights of ministry. He probably saw all the altar calls. He probably saw the lines that was waiting for prayer to meet Jesus after every teaching. You know, sometimes we see all this glitters in ministry and we get excited. You know, many times I've seen young people come and say to me, Pastor, I want to preach like you. Pastor, I want to be like you. Pastor, I want to do ministry like you. How do I do that? I say, start with washing toilet. You know why? Because that's where I started. 32 years ago, I left a good job, a paying job, to take on the ministry where my pastor said 3 years, no salary. And what do? Wash toilet. Hello? I was a young manager, left the job, no salary, wash toilet. But that was where my character was being made. That's where I begin to realize that ministry is cleaning up people's life. And just like toilet, you clean up, it can become dirty again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello? Yes, you can respond, it's okay. And so it's so important for us to realize, dear friends, that Jesus is saying his standard of following him is not based out of comfort. It's not about going only where I feel comfortable about. Everywhere you go means even in places where it's not going to be comfortable. Now, I grew up in a family of four boys, and my mother, I'm the youngest boy, my mother is a cleanliness freak. My father is an army man, so you can imagine my home. It's very clean. And boys, four boys, and especially the youngest one. You know, usually the youngest boy in a Tamil family is the spoiled one. How about the Chinese family? I think it's the first and the last. You know, and so I was taught to be clean. So when I got married, I didn't realize I married a woman who's doubly a cleanliness freak. You know, double my mother. So life was pretty tough, trying to be clean all the time. But I didn't realize I picked up all this. Remember, I said I was a missionary. And of all the places God sent me, not to Hawaii. You know, it was Nepal. And how many of you have been to Nepal? Put up your hands. Okay, one. You love it, right? Beautiful scenery. But how about the public toilet? How many of you been to public toilets in Malaysia that you say is dirty? Okay. You haven't been to Nepal. And if you have been to Nepal and you say it's very dirty, then you haven't been to India. The standard always lowers as you move to countries with more population. And so, it was very hard for me. I like to go to a clean toilet to relieve myself. It has to smell nice. The floor must be dry. Clean, wet, tabule. Clean, dry. Sometimes I like toilets with carpet. Some of you look at me very strange. Yes, I am Malaysian Indian. But I grew up like that. It has to be really good. And when I take shower, water cannot be outside the shower area. You know, that's the kind of freakish comfort that I like. My towels must be changed almost every other day if I can. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say? Only one person. The rest of you, I can imagine your toilet. And when I say I will follow wherever you lead me, I didn't realize what I was saying. In the discipleship, in becoming like Christ, dear friends, we have to learn that following Christ is not based out of comfort. Second thing that we can learn from this passage, how not to follow Christ, is this. Following Jesus cannot be based on convenience. The second guy, he said, Lord, let me go and bury my father. A point to note, nowhere in that passage it says his father was dead. How many of you know if the father was dead, he won't be there? So what is he trying to say? In their culture, you know, sons have responsibilities. And so he's basically saying, Lord, I will follow you, but let's wait until my father dies. I bury him, then I will come and follow you. Now, those of you who have been ministry, and if you're working with Asians, you will find out that many of us Asians, we don't like to offend our parents. We want to follow Jesus, but our parents may not be Christians, so we normally say, I will wait. Okay? I don't know whether Brother Bruce has gone through this kind of situations. I've gone through a lot of it. We cannot follow Jesus based out of convenience. When I'm free, I will follow him. When I'm not free, I will not follow him. When it's safe, I will follow him. When it's not safe, I will not follow him. You know, a number of years back, when Russia was still Soviet Union, this is a true story, unless I tell you otherwise. A group of soldiers, or KGB, went into a church with AK-47s, pointing at all the, worshippers. And he said, those of you who would not deny Christ, stay inside here. Those of you who are ready to deny Christ, please leave this hall right now. We will not harm you. So one third of the church got up, left the church. And then these guys came to the front and said, who's the pastor? So the pastor was standing there, you know, putting up his hand. He said, we want to give our lives to Jesus and we want the real Christians to witness it. True story, friends. I wonder how many of us will still be inside the church if something like that happened. Don't know whether the pastor is still around. No? Run for dear life. But we don't follow Jesus because of convenience. How many of you know in the church why leaders are struggling? Is because there are a lot of Christians who follow Christ based out of convenience. I have my own life, but when I have time, I will do something for Jesus. Jesus is not the center. You know, there's a song, worship song, that says, Jesus be the center of my life. Do we even know what we're singing? Sometimes that's the problem. We don't know what we're singing. But I want to encourage you, find out the meaning. Every song has a story, which I will say at the end of this message, one of the songs that we're going to sing. So you cannot follow Jesus based out of convenience. When my father died, when my business, I sell off my business. When I get married, when my daughter is married, it's about now. It's about following him even when it is not convenient. following Jesus must cost us. That's why Jesus says, before you start building, count the cost. You know, last year, I have gone through two procedures of the heart. You know, two times, three stents have been placed in my artery. Now, I'm a sportsman. Some of those who are from Penang, they will know. I work out twice a day. But how many of you know working out alone doesn't guarantee that you are healthy? There are other things that are connected to it. And what we are doing right now, traveling, doing things, you know, my wife leaves to Sarawak immediately after this sermon because we're working on building a kindergarten in one area of Sarawak. And she's going there to train the teachers. And don't you think we know the danger that is out there? But the Great Commission doesn't have exemptions. Go, therefore, and make disciples when there is no COVID, when it's COVID-free. Go and make disciples of every nation when there is no war. Go and make disciples of every nation when you have time. Is that what Jesus said? We are not being hero bodo. We are not being dumb. We are not being callous. But we have counted our costs. And I want to challenge the church. Everyone who calls themselves as a follower of Jesus, how are we following Jesus? Is it based out of comfort, convenience? And the third thing is, are we following Jesus as one of our choices? As one of our choice. You know how it is like when you go to a buffet line, right? You can choose what you want to eat, what you don't want to eat. How many of you know at home what mother cooks? No choice. Right or not? What she put on the plate is what you eat. But when you go to the hotel, you got choice. That's why young people like to go to hotel. Go home, mother give bitter gourd. Hotel, no bitter gourd. Praise the Lord. God is good. There's ice cream. There's all kinds of things in the buffet line. All you have to do is pay and enjoy. At home, you also pay by suffering. Mom said, this is what is good for you. So eat it. You know, you want McDonald's? Mom says, you know, you got to eat pak choy, kai lan. All this is good for you. Garlic, ginger. You know, I look at the Chinese food for, what do you call that, confinement food, huh? Wow, scary stuff. I'm glad I'm not a woman. You know, it's not the food that you want to eat every day. But friends, following Jesus is not one of the choices. The third guy, if you realize, he said, let me go and bid farewell. Now, for years, I didn't understand that. Until I met up with a pastor from Israel. And I said, what is he saying? I said, I've asked many scholars, and different scholars have different answers. Now, number one, he said, whenever Jewish people do a wedding, it's either 3, 5, 7 days of celebration. When they do a farewell, it's 3, 5, 7 days of celebration. I think they follow Chinese. 3, 5, 7. Okay? But when they want to give an excuse, they will always say, let me go and do this first. Are you here? And when there's so many choices in life, and that's not the only choice, But many choices, sometimes we don't know how to say no. We can say, you know, let me go and do this first. Our modern day, let me go and say bye is what? No, let me pray about it. Have you heard of that? Let me pray about it. How many of you know that evangelism, you don't need to pray about it? Now, I've been a senior pastor long enough to know this. Someone told me, but Pastor, I don't have the calling of an evangelist. Huh? Which Bible are you reading? Where got something called calling of evangelist? Jesus called everyone to go and make disciples. Before you make them into disciples, they need to come to know the Lord. That's your job as well. And my job. So no need to pray, Lord, do I still need to do this? No, no need. He already said it 2,000 years ago. And that's why it's called Great Commission. Say it with me. Great Commission. It's Great Commission because it's great. Malay call it Amanat Agong. Who? Agong. Don't play. You don't need to pray about it. You know, I find this very difficult nowadays. Everything people, because it sounds so spiritual, what? Let me pray about it and never come back one. Some people pray about it for years and conveniently forget. How many of us know that it's a lie when we say, I pray about it and never pray? Hello? Are you here with me? Pray about it, but I never pray. Isn't that a lie? When I tell a person I will pray about it, and I never pray? See, all these things, we don't think about it. We take it very lightly. In the ancient day, they don't make oath because they have to live by the oath. There's a guy in the Bible, I forgot his name. Maybe Deacon Bruce can say it. His name starts with J, Jehoshaphat or something like that. He said to the Lord, Lord, I go and fight for you, but when I return back, if you give me victory, whatever comes out from my house, the first thing that comes out from my house, I will sacrifice for you. He so quickly made a vow. And when he got back, God gave him victory. You know who came out first? His one and only daughter. Guess what? That guy was a broken man after a victory. But you know, people of those days, when they give their word, they do it. Today, conveniently forget. Let me pray about it. Okay, 20 years later, still praying. So dear friends, I want to say this to you. I hope what I'm saying makes sense to you and encourages you to be a better follower of Jesus. Choices. If Jesus is not one of the choice in your life. So how should we follow Jesus? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, pick up the cross. The cross is another C that's pointing to commitment. The only way to follow Jesus is with total commitment. Can I have the worship team up here, please? Total commitment. Today, many of us think following Jesus is an important thing, but not the most important. Total commitment is the only way one can follow Jesus. That's the requirement Jesus is looking for from every one of us. I wrote that there's only one way of following Jesus. Committed till the end. You know, just now we sang that song, All I Need, is it? Jesus is enough, right? Now, the words of that song, especially the chorus part, is copied from a hymn called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Now, Every hymn has a story behind. How many of you know that? Thousands of hymns. And every hymn has a story behind. What a Wondrous Cross had a story. Amazing Grace has a story. How Great Thou Art has a story. And I Have Decided to Follow Jesus has a story. Some of you may know the story, some of you may not. It's about a family in Northeast India, in a Hindu village, a family came to know the Lord. The village was totally against them. They barred them from taking water. They barred them from farming. They tried everything. But the family will not deny Christ. So one day they caught the whole family, brought them to the city square, and all the villagers gathered, and they said, "You need to deny Christ right now." And that's when the father said, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." And when they said that, when he said that, they said, "Okay, if you say this, we will kill your wife." And he continued to say it. And he killed his wife right in front of his eyes. And then he kept on saying, you know, different sentences that you find in that song. "Though none go with me, yet still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." Another family member's life was slain. Dear friends, that hymn, every stanza lost a person's life. Sometimes we don't understand, not because it's our fault, it's because we don't know the source. But today we know the source. As you rise up, as the worship team leads us in this song, as we sing this song, would you consider how we are following Jesus? Would you stand? Church, all of us grow into deeper commitment. Different ones of us can be in different level of commitment this morning. But don't allow the voice of the enemy to condemn you. What I want to say this morning is that you will be encouraged to grow in your commitment in following Jesus. If in the past Your way of following has been based on comfort, based on convenience, based on choices. May you today say, Lord, I want to grow in my commitment in following you. Holy Spirit, help me to grow in my commitment in following Jesus. That's my prayer for all of us today. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your servants who are standing here in this hall, and for some who may be at home today for many various reasons. Father, I pray that, Lord God, following you will truly be a commitment that all of us will make. Help us to grow in our commitment. As parents, help us to teach our children how to grow in commitment. As grandparents, help us to teach our grandkids how to grow in commitment in following Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, today that we will not be like that cartoon character. A church that lowers the standard of following Jesus, but will walk in line with the standard that is set by Jesus, not by man, but by Jesus. Their heart's desire is that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Please be seated.